Amen. God bless you this morning. Isn't it good to be in church on a Sunday morning? Amen. How many of you are excited and are blessed to be in church this morning? Amen. What a privilege that we have. What a privilege that we should never take for granted in this wonderful nation of Australia that we are in. There are people around the world that would give anything to be in a house like this, be in a church like this. Amen. Get in our car, drive to church. There is no fear that someone's going to stop us and ask us, where are you going? What's that in your hand? It's a Bible. We have freedom. Let us take that freedom. Amen. Let us take that opportunity that we have to come to the house of God, to worship the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. He deserves our praise. He deserves our worship. He deserves our service. And may we, as long as we can, as long as God gives us the opportunity to worship Him freely in this country, may we take that opportunity to do so. Amen. Praise God. I'm so blessed to be here with you this morning. Thank you, Pastor Gerard, for the lovely and kind invitation to come and share the word with you. As Pastor said, we are pastoring a church in Eight Mile Plains on the south side of Brisbane with my wife, Gospel of Power Church. The Lord is blessing the work over there, and He's moving. We believe God has us in the city for such a time as this. But I believe that God has you on this side of the city for such a time as this. Amen? This church would be a carrier of the light of Christ to this community that God has put you in. And I believe that the best days are before you, not behind you. Amen? How many of you believe that this morning? The best days are before you, not behind you. So this morning, I want to share just for a few minutes on the title, Turn Your Frustrations Into Faith. Turn your frustrations into faith. Let's open our Bibles to the book of Ezra. Let's open our Bibles or turn in your iPhone to the book of Ezra. We're going to read from chapter 4, and we're going to read verse 4 and verse 5. Turn your frustrations into faith. Look what the word of the Lord says here in Ezra chapter 4, verse 4 and verse 5. So the people of God are building the temple, and there's a few things that happen here. Look what it says. Then the people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah, and they troubled them in their building. And look what they did. And they hired counselors against them to frustrate their purpose, all the days of Cyrus, king of Persia, even until the reign of Darius, king of Persia. Look what it says in verse 5. The people of the land hired counselors to frustrate the purpose, to frustrate their purpose. And it is true that on our journey, on our faith walk, we're going to have ample opportunity to get frustrated. Amen. I believe everyone here this morning has been frustrated at some point in life, even this week. Frustration is something normal. It is something that happens to us. It is not a bad thing if we know how to harness it and we know how to direct it. Frustration has as its goal, as its motive, to cause us to stop doing what God has called us to do. Frustration has as its goal, at its motive, to cause us to become upset, bitter. Amen. The devil uses it as a strategy to cause us sometimes even to question God. But at its core, frustration is not bad, because it means that I want more. I know there's more. I'm not happy with where I am at the moment. I'm not happy with what's going on. I know there's got to be more out of this. And I'm frustrated because of the fact that I'm not seeing what I want to see. But the problem with many is they get frustrated, and they allow frustration to do what frustration does, and we cease doing what God has called us to do because we don't harness the frustration to faith. You can turn your frustrations into faith if you know what to do, and continue building, continue doing what God has called you to do. Every human being, every believer, especially if you're a believer, has a God-given innate desire to build something. It's been put in there by God. It's part of our DNA to build. Building is exciting. It has vision attached to it. It has new beginnings, purpose attached to it. And whether we like it or not, whether we know it or not, we are building something. Amen? Some people are building a church. Some are building a ministry, a family, finances, a business. Some are building goals, their marriage. A father and a mother are building their children, raising them up towards a better future. Everything we do revolves around building. Can you say amen this morning? Building, building. The word building means to repair, to construct, to set up, to edify. We are not called to be destroyers. We are called to be builders. Can you say amen? The faith life is one of continual building. Building. Edifying. That's who we are. We get in there and we build. We get in there and we construct. We get in there, we see how can we make something good out of this that's been put in there by God. So in this book of Ezra, together with the book of Nehemiah, it talks about and relates the story of God's people coming back to Jerusalem with one goal and with one purpose in mind, and that was to build. Amen? To build. In Nehemiah, they were building the wall. Ezra, they were building the temple. Amen? They came back to Jerusalem to build the temple and the wall that had been destroyed, had been burned to the ground. The men and the women, families, they had one purpose. They were excited. Amen. They were full of energy. They had one goal in mind, to build. To build the wall. To build the temple. To build a place unto God. That which had been destroyed could not stay destroyed. That which had been burned could not stay burned. We have to do something about this. And if you read, they came back excited. They came back full of energy, full of life. Their heart was in it. But how many of you know, whenever you endeavor to build something for God, whenever you endeavor to do something good, the enemy doesn't like it. The devil doesn't like it. Have you noticed, whenever you decide, I'm going to live for God from this day forward, whenever you decide on a Sunday morning, I'm going to do things right, how many of you know that week all hell breaks loose? You've got to choose your words right, you know. From now on, I'm going to be in church every Sunday. And all of a sudden, now every Sunday, a family member comes over, someone gets sick. It's just this endeavor from the enemy to frustrate your purpose. To frustrate your endeavor to build your marriage, to build your business, to raise up your children right, to frustrate your purpose of building your finances, your vision, your goals, your future. To frustrate. And that's what happened here. Amen. Hallelujah. You'd be too quiet for me this morning. Amen. Praise God. Amen. It's interesting to see that before the enemies came to frustrate their purpose. And understand, they hired counselors. They hired people to go and frustrate their purpose. Go and get them cranky. Go and get them angry. Go and frustrate them. Go and annoy them so that they stop building. But before they did that, they did something very cunning, very intentional. It says in verse 4, then the people of the land weakened the hands of the people of Judah. First, the enemy came to weaken their hands, the hand of Judah. Judah, one of the tribes of Israel, to weaken the hands of Judah. Everybody say hands. To weaken the hands of Judah. The word hands in the Bible talks about power. It talks about strength. Especially the right hand. Strength, power, provision. The left hand usually talks about direction, guidance. So the enemy came to weaken the hands, to debilitate the power and the strength of Judah, so that then he could have free access to frustrate their purpose. Are we here? The enemy came to weaken, debilitate the strength and the power of Judah. Judah is translated praise. Praise. So the enemy came, if we look at this and we look at a revelation from God, he came to debilitate, to weaken the strength and the power of the praise of God's people. Because if the enemy can weaken your praise, he can easily frustrate you. The Bible says, amen, that praise, Judah, is God's sanctuary. Praise is the place of intimacy with God. Praise is the place of relationship with God. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. God inhabits the what? The praises of his people. So wherever God is, you will find praise. Wherever praise is, you will find God. So the enemy came to weaken their place of strength. He came to weaken their place of power. Their power was in their relationship with God. Their power was in their strength, was in their intimacy with God. Their strength and their power was in their praise. There are two things that the devil hates that the church would do today. There are two things that he does not like. And he is being effective today. Two things. He hates praise and he hates tongues. He hates praise. He cannot stand someone praising the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He cannot stand a church that knows how to praise God. Genuine praise. I'm not talking about music. I'm talking about praise. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Am I shouting? Hallelujah. I get excited. Praise God. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. So you don't need music to praise the Lord. But music helps. Music is good. But today, if we're not careful, music is something we use to hide ourselves. We hide ourselves behind the music. And God wants to hear your praise. The devil does not. So he comes to weaken your praise. He comes to weaken your relationship with God. He comes to debilitate your stand in God. And he hates tongues. So there's two things that he's taking out of the church today. Praise and tongues. You can see it. So what the devil does, he comes against us to weaken our place of strength. All of a sudden, we're not praising as we used to praise. Our prayer life is debilitating. Our hunger for God is stagnating. Where we once used to be in church every week, now we can get by with every second week. And our sanctuary is being debilitated. And then no wonder we're frustrated now. Because the devil cannot frustrate a man or a woman that knows how to praise God. The devil cannot frustrate someone that is in his word. The devil cannot frustrate someone that knows how to pray, that knows how to touch heaven. The devil cannot frustrate someone that knows how to stay close to Jesus. He needs you out here to frustrate you. But in order to get you out here, he has to weaken the hands of Judah. He does things so that we start losing the intensity for God. We start losing the hunger for God. We start losing our passion for God. And we, bit by bit, start coming out of the realm of sanctuary, out of the realm of intimacy, out of the realm of prayer, out of the realm of being close to God. We start coming out, other things start entertaining us, other things start exciting us, other things start taking the place of Jesus, and we start moving out of here, and then he comes and frustrates our purpose. We're easy meat. I don't know where you are this morning with God. I don't know where your praise is and where your worship is and where your hunger is for God. But I want to say to you, get back into the sanctuary. Get back into the sanctuary. Get back into the intimacy with God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He is. Praise God. Amen. Oh, I feel disappointed. I feel frustrated. I feel dissatisfied. I feel depressed. I feel unfulfilled. I feel unresolved. I feel like I'm going nowhere. How can that change? Strengthen the hands of Judah. How can I stop being satisfied? How can I stop being fulfilled? Get back in the strength of Judah. Come back to God. Come back to Jesus. Come back to His Word. Strengthen your hands. Your strength is in Jesus. Your strength is in God. Your strength is in His Word. Your strength is in His church. Your strength is in the prayer closet. Strength. Hallelujah. Amen. So I don't know what's happening. The hands have been weakened. We're not where we used to be with God. And God's saying, come on, come back in. Come back in. You remember when you first received Jesus? When you'd go to church, you were excited? Like a pop, 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 pop. Where are you going? I'm going to church. Pop, pop. Why are you so excited? I don't know. Hallelujah. I just know I'm going to praise Jesus this morning. I just know I'm going to hear a word from God. I just can't wait to see my brothers and sisters in Christ. I just can't wait to pray. I just can't wait to lift up my hands. I'm just in love with Him. Hallelujah. And then we go 10 years later, and like it's like, oh, do we have to go to church this morning? Oh, I wonder what's going to happen today. I wonder who's going to sit in my seat. I wonder how long the pastor's going to preach. Oh. And we get in the car, and our heart's not beating. There's like a funeral song in the background. Like a violin playing as we drive to church. We've lost our strength. Then no wonder we're frustrated. We're upset. Things are not going well. Come on, say amen, hallelujah. Yeah. God says, I know what you do for me, but I don't want you to do it outside of your first love. You've lost your first love. Yes, you do this. Yes, you do that. Yes, you go here. Yes, you do things for me that are right, but you do it out of passion, out of love for me. Remember, Jesus said to the church in Ephesus, I have something against you. You've lost your first love. You've lost your passion. You've lost your hunger for me. You've lost the place of strength. And now you do things for me because you have to. You know they're the right things to do, but you don't do them because you love me. Oh, it's such a difference when we do things for God because we love Him. Hallelujah. It's such a difference when we live for God and we're in love with Him. Can you say amen? Praise God. Enemies will come disguised in discouragement, fear, lack of resources, problems, attacks, wrong people. Anytime we are building, especially when we're building for God, there will be enemies. Everybody say enemies. Who likes enemies? Enemies. Building equals opposition. Building equals enemies are going to come our way. Haters will arise in the midst of your success. Amen? There are people, and especially demonic powers, who have as their express purpose to try and frustrate your purpose. I want you to think about that. There are people, especially demonic powers. We believe in demonic, there are demonic powers out there that come, and their express purpose is to frustrate our purpose. But the devil is a liar. Can you say a big amen? Hallelujah. He is very threatened by your potential. We must keep building and doing what God has called us to do. We must turn our frustrations into faith and fulfill our God-given purpose. Listen to this. If we stay frustrated, the building stops. If we stay frustrated, God's work ceases and the devil's work begins. If we don't direct our frustration properly, it will result in pessimism, anger, bitterness, and even depression. Let me give you three things here this morning that we can do to turn our frustration into faith. Obviously, before we go into it, the first thing is to just get before God. Get before God. Be honest with God. Say, God, I'm feeling frustrated. God, I'm feeling dissatisfied. God, I've lost the passion. I've lost the fervor. I've lost the hunger. Lord, God, I come to you and I open up my life. I surrender all to you. First thing. But then there are some practical things that we can do. Number one, how can we turn our frustrations into faith? Number one, prayer and the Word of God. Prayer and the Word. When we're frustrated, go to the origin of your strength. Go to the source of your strength. God's Word and prayer. The Bible says in Nehemiah 4:4-5, that when the enemies came to Nehemiah to frustrate their purpose, to stop them from building the wall, the Bible says that Nehemiah immediately turned his eyes to God and he began to pray. He began to say, God, you see what is going on. God, you see what they are doing. You see what we want to do. All we want to do is build the wall. All we want to do is something that will be beneficial and will be edifying to the people of Israel. But you see what is going on. There are people intimidating us. There are people coming against us. And so immediately they prayed. When you feel that frustration coming on, go to God. Pray. Seek His face. The Bible says, pray without ceasing. Pray. I believe as we pray, we're turning our frustrations into faith. Hallelujah. Many days I've been frustrated. Many days I've been upset. Many days I've been questioning what's going on with this and with that, especially with regards to the ministry as we're trying to build the church and we're building ministries. And enemies come and try to frustrate our purpose. And I've understood that there's no use trying to come against those enemies. I come to God. I get on my face before God. Many days I've been on the floor praying, seeking His face, saying, God, look what's going on. Father, look what's happening. Look what the enemy's doing. Look what I'm doing. God, I need your strength. And without a shadow of a doubt, every time when I get up from that floor, I feel strong. Hallelujah. When I get up from that floor, I feel energized. I feel the power of God. I have turned my frustrations into faith. The Word of God. Bible says faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. Church, we need to read the Bible. We need to read the Word of God. When you feel frustrated, when you feel like you're getting cranky and you're getting upset and you even feel like questioning God and questioning people, go to the Word of God. Start reading the Word of God. The Bible is a faith factory. Every time you read the Bible, you're injecting faith on the inside of you. The Bible is full of vitamins, hallelujah. The Bible is full of words of faith. Every time you read the Word of God, you are turning your frustrations into faith. Hallelujah. Jesus would always go away and pray. You don't think he got frustrated? You don't think the enemy tried to stop him? He would go away and pray. He would go away and seek his Father. He would go away and see what the Father was doing and hear what the Father was saying. That's how you turn your frustrations into faith. You don't turn your frustrations into faith and disconnect from God. Disconnect from His church. I marvel when people come to me for counseling in my church and they say, Pastor, I'm going through this and I'm going through that. I'm so frustrated in my marriage. I'm so frustrated with my children. I'm so frustrated with life. And I haven't seen him in church for the last 4 Sundays. I think you're not serious. Your frustration is turning into more frustration as you don't read the Word of God, as you don't pray to God, but you read what the world has to say. You find the wrong connections. You find the wrong friends. Church, we need to pray. Hallelujah. We need to get into His Word, read His Word, and faith comes to your life. So that's one of the ways you turn your frustration into faith. You pray and you get into His Word. Number two, perspective. Everybody say perspective. Perspective is what we are focusing on. We sometimes, when we get in frustrated, is because our focus is not on the right thing. We need to change our focus. We need to look at the bigger picture. We need to see what God sees, amen, and see what God wants to show us. He is the architect. He is the developer. Amen? It's interesting to see that when I don't know if there's any builders here, any builders, architects, whatever, in that kind of stream of work, when if you wanted to buy a house, and you go and look at the blueprint, you go and look at the what the architect has designed, and you see the house finished, you see the house how it will look at the end, and you say with your wife, we're going to buy that house, that's the house that we want, and then so then what happens is 6 weeks later you go to the plot of ground that you bought, and it looks nothing like the house. If it's been raining, there's mud, there's water. Maybe the builders have delayed. And it'd be very easy to get frustrated with what is going on, with the slowness. And with it's very easy to say, what's happening here? Where is my house? But it's in that moment that you need to look at the bigger picture. Something is happening. There's a process. Otherwise, you will get frustrated. Time goes by. It's raining many days. But you need to stop focusing on the muddy water and stop focusing on the house that's half built. Focus on what you saw at the beginning, because that's where you're going. Hallelujah. Your perspective needs to be God's perspective. You need to have a vision from God. Don't focus on the frustrations, on the root of the frustration. In Genesis chapter 5, let's go to Genesis chapter 5, verse 5. Genesis chapter 5. Sorry, 15. Genesis chapter 15, verse 5. Look what it says here. It's something very powerful here. In Genesis chapter 15, we'll read from verse 1 to verse 5. Genesis 15, verse 1 to verse 5. After these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, "Fear not, Abram, I am your shield and your exceeding great reward." And Abram said, "Lord God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus?" And Abram said, "Behold, to me you have given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the..." Now listen, that sounds like a man that's a little bit frustrated. God's telling Abram, I'm going to give you a vision of blessing you. I'm going to give you a vision of a reward. And Abram talks to God like, "God, where's my son that you've promised me?" He's like a little bit ticked off. He's frustrated because he has a promise from God and he's getting older. Romans chapter 4 says that Abraham was now dead physically, in the sense that he could not have a child and his wife's womb was dead. Amen. And so he's got a promise, but he's got a problem. It's just like God to give you a promise and then introduce you into a problem. It's just like God to give you a vision and then he leads you on a journey. And so Abraham is frustrated. Look how he's talking to God. He says to God, "God, what will you give me, seeing I go childless and the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus?" Verse 3, "Behold, to me you have given no seed." Man, you got to have a bit of guts to talk to God like that, eh? "You haven't given me seed. And I go childless. You promised me a son." He's frustrated. Now, the truth be told, that's how many of us feel many times in our journey. We're frustrated. Say, "God, what's going on? God, when is this thing going to finish? God, when is this thing going to be built? God, where's the money going to come from? God, when is there going to be change? You told me, you gave me a vision, you gave me a promise. God," and we have it out with God many times. But look at verse 4. "And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be your heir, but he that shall come forth out of your own bowels shall be your heir. Now, when God told Abraham that, you shall have a son out of your own bowel. You could just see Abraham going, yeah, there we go again. God, give me another promise. God telling me just to stand in faith. And I think that God in his mind said, I've got to use another tactic here with Abraham, because he doesn't get it. He doesn't get it. So look what verse 5 says. And God brought him forth abroad. Now another translation says, and God took him outside the tent. Now don't miss this. God took him outside the tent, and he said, look now towards heaven and number the stars if you are able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall your seed be. Now don't miss this. God sees Abraham. He hears his frustration. He has a promise. He has a word from God. But Abraham's focus is not conducive for him to believe the word from God. So God does something very different and so intentional and so powerful. God takes him outside the tent and changes his perspective. Changes his focus. He says, come out. See, while you're in that tent, you're not going to get this word. While you're in that tent, your focus is limited by the four walls and by the roof. While you're in that tent, you're not going to be able to receive this word from mine, because all you see are the four walls and the roof of that tent. Come outside the tent and get another perspective. Have a look at what I'm going to do with you. Count the stars if you can, because that is your future. Focus. Get a perspective. Look at what I want to show you. That is what I'm going to do with you. While Abram is in the tent, all he can see is his wife, Sarah. He can only see his wife, Sarah, and he can only see his body that is getting old. It's funny because Romans chapter 4 uses a word. It says he was now dead. Now, he wasn't dead physically. He was dead down there. Let's just be real honest. That's what it's saying there. He was there was no chemist back then, hallelujah. He was dead. He couldn't produce. His wife's womb was dead, sterile. So in the tent, he sees his wife. He looks at himself. He says, this is never going to happen. I've got a word. It's not going to happen. That's because his perspective is his wife. His perspective is the negative. His perspective is the impossibilities. Then, let me ask you a question. What do you put on the walls of your home? You put photos. Can I ask you a question? What are the photos in your home? What photos do you have in your home? They are photos of the and the past. You have no photo in your home of the future. Every photo you have in your house is a photo of the... In my home, I've got photos where I had hair. Hallelujah. And I like that one. Leave that right there. Praise God. In my home, I've got photos of my wedding day. I've got photos of my children when they were born. I've got photos of when we went on a cruise. All the photos that I've got in my house, on my walls, that I look at are photos of the past. So when Abraham's looking at his wall, all he sees are photos of him and Sarah. There's no photos of children. When he looks at Sarah, he sees a sterile woman. When he looks at himself, he sees a man that's dead. And so he's in the tent, he's in this restriction, and he's frustrated, and God says, I've got to give him another perspective. Come outside the tent. And he gets him to look to the heavens, and immediately Abraham gets it. Hallelujah. And it actually says in Romans 4, he did not look at the impossibilities. He believed what God said he would do, because God is not a man that he should lie. What he said he will do, he will do it. You need to change your perspective. You need to change what you are looking at and look at what God wants to show you. Can you say a big amen this morning? The last thing that I want to share with you is persistent. Persistent. We need to know how to endure. We need to continue. We need to have tenacity. Amen. Nehemiah 4:6 says, the people had a mind to work. The word mind is translated properly, is better, is the people had a heart to work. They had a heart. You know why sportsmen retire? Why politicians retire? The truth is they say this, my heart wasn't in it anymore. I lost, my heart's not in it. I went to training one day and I just realized, I've lost the passion. I've lost, my heart's not in it. I just don't feel like doing it anymore. They're still physically able. They're still young maybe. But I just my heart's not in it. I don't have the drive to come to training every day. I don't have the drive, you know, for a 9 to 6 hours of training and gym work. I don't have the drive. My heart's not in it. But if you're going to turn your frustrations into faith, you're going to have to learn how to be persistent. You're going to have to learn how to endure. Can you say a big amen? The Bible says the righteous falls and he gets up again. And he keeps going. Persistent. You get knocked down and you get up again. You keep going. We're building this thing. We're going somewhere. We have a vision for our family. We have a vision for our children. We want this business to prosper. We want this church to be all that God's called this church to be. Yes, there'll be haters. Yes, there'll be enemies. Yes, there will be problems. Yes, there will be financial lack of resources. That's in the tent. Come outside and have a look at the resources of God. Hallelujah. Come outside and have a look that God is the God of the impossible. In the tent, you look at your history. In the tent, you look at your impossibilities. In the tent, you look at your money, at your lack of resources. Come outside and look that we have a God that owns gold and the silver. Hallelujah. Get in there. Persistent. Keep going to church. Keep reading your Bible. Keep doing what God has called you to do. Get your heart back again. Get a heart for the things of God. Get a heart for what God's laid on your heart this morning. Amen. Praise God. Let's all stand up this morning. Praise the Lord. Can somebody say a big amen? Hallelujah. And these guys, Ezra and Nehemiah, they built the temple. They built the wall. Nehemiah built the wall in record time. Amen. They knew how to connect with God. They had a perspective of God. And they were persistent. The devil cannot come against someone that's persistent. He'll try. If I was to tell you all the things the devil has thrown at me, thrown at my family, thrown at our church, thrown at our ministry, we've got to turn our frustrations into faith. Keep going. Keep building. Because you're building a good thing. Amen? You're building a good thing. And if God is for you, who can be against you? Keep building this church. And you actually are building. You're building, aren't you? There's building going on. Amen? And maybe we look at the resources. We look at maybe the people. Maybe there's not 100% commitment from the people. There's always a minority that are there. But God's going to raise up people. I said God's going to raise up people. Amen. Because his work's going to get done. His church is going to be built. And the gates of hell shall not prevail against the army of the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's pray. Is there anyone here this morning that does not know Jesus? Is there anyone here this morning that has never received Jesus into their heart? And you would like to start building your faith life. You would like to start living for God. As every eyes are closed and head bowed, if there's anyone here that is not sure of their salvation, and you would like to be today saved, just raise your hands right there where you are. Maybe everybody's saved. Maybe everybody has committed their life to Jesus. But if there's someone here that says, Pastor, I want to live for Jesus. I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to build my life on the rock. I don't want to build it anymore outside of Jesus. I want to build my life right. Anybody? We'll hold that just for a few seconds. God, I don't know, maybe everybody is saved, but if there's someone here that's not, I want to live for Jesus. Amen. Praise God. Is there anyone here this morning that you're building? You're building for God. You're building something. Your hands are working. Your hands are in the ministry. Your hands, you're building. But you might say, Pastor, I do feel frustrated this morning. I feel frustrated. I feel dissatisfied. I feel stressed. I feel burdened. I feel tired. And I would just like to receive strength from God. As we have our eyes closed and heads bowed, if there's anyone who says, Pastor, pray for me this morning. I want to turn my frustration into faith. Just raise your hands right there where you are. I see the hand there in the middle, there at the back, over on the side. Anybody else? Anybody else? I want to turn my frustration into faith. I don't want to stop building. I don't want to cease doing what God has called me to do. I see that hand over there. I see your hand. Father, in the name of Jesus, strengthen the hands of your people to work in what you have called them to do. Father, strengthen the hands of our praise. Strengthen the hands of our intimacy with you. Get us back to that place, Father, where we are in a relationship with you. Lord, I pray that you get us into a prayer life. Get us into your word, from where comes our faith. Lord, give us a God perspective today. Let us not be bound by our history. Let us not be bound by the impossibilities. Let us not be bound by the four walls that we are looking at, which seem impossible, which seem that we'll never get out of this. We'll never achieve. We'll never succeed. Take us outside our tent and let us have a focus of the kingdom. Hallelujah. Give us a focus of what you want to do in our life. Rearrange our focus. Align our focus today to see what you want us to see. That if our bodies are sick, take us outside of that tent and let us see that you are our healer. Hallelujah. That you are our deliverer. Let us not focus on the pain. Let us focus on the healing that you have brought for us. And Lord, I pray also that you give us persistent people. Let us be persistent. Give us tenacity. Give us, Lord, guts and a heart to do what you have called us to do. Let us not throw in the towel at the first sign of opposition. Let us, Lord, not surrender at the first sign of a lack of resources. Let us continue going on. Hallelujah. Give us persistence this morning, God. And whatever it is that you've called us to build, that it will be built. It will be built in the name of Jesus Christ. We give you praise and we give you glory today. And everybody says, amen. Come on, everybody says, amen. And amen. Give the Lord a big clap offering there where you are.